Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Last time, if you recall, things got pretty intense. Our adventurers were in this massive battle wrapping up Game 8 of Waterdeep Dungeon of the Mad Mage.
Right, the one that ended with that huge ice storm. A real cliffhanger for what you could call the Season 9 opener.
Exactly. Maybe. So today, we're jumping right into that next session, Game 9, Episode 1, or So 9, IO 1, based on GM Wintermute's YouTube transcript.
Yeah.
We're going to break down exactly what happened. Think of this as your shortcut. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your inside look at this specific game.
Perfect. And picking up right where they left off, the group had just, you know, taken down a gang, dealt with some bugbears, and they were really close to hitting level 8. Needed, what was it, like 9650 XP?
Just about, yeah. And don't forget, one character still have their goblin companion tagging along. Always adds a bit of unpredictability.
Definitely a wild card. Oh, and that bugbear they were chasing before.
The one who ran off.
Yeah, well, its story ended pretty quick. Ran right into a trapped hallway, got filled with arrows. Ouch.
So the adventurers know about that hallway. The big question is, do they risk it again? Or find another path?
And that decision is really where our deep dive into So 9 IO 1 begins today. We're going to follow their choices, the discoveries they make, the combat, basically how this session unfolds.
What's interesting is they don't even really consider going back into that trapped hall. Shows they learned something from the last fight, maybe.
You'd hope so. Seems like caution won out. Their first move is smart, though back to a hallway they know is clue, just to regroup. Lets them think without immediate danger, right?
Makes sense. So they backtrack a bit. They even remember finding that silver key earlier, the one that opened the chest with gold. A little reminder that, hey, this place can pay off sometimes.
A bit of positive reinforcement before plunging back into the unknown. But yeah, that reflection doesn't last long. They spot two unexplored corridors heading southeast.
More choices, more potential danger. They pick one, and right away they're thinking traps. Gotta be careful.
And it's a good thing they are. This focus on checking for traps, even in seemingly quiet areas, it's smart play. It really sets the tone for this session, 0901, early on.
And bingo, almost immediately, a trap is detected.
See? Knew it.
So they send in the bat, familiar to scout ahead. Good move, low risk.
Yeah.
The bat confirms, the hallway connects like they thought.
Smart use of resources, but the catch is, the bat's great for mapping, not so much for spotting traps.
Right. So even with the bat's report, they proceed cautiously. And it pays off. First set of pressure plates found, disarmed. No problem.
Okay, building confidence. They're being careful, methodical.
Then they find a second set of pressure plates. Same deal detected, disarmed. They must be feeling pretty good right about now.
Maybe a little too good?
Seems like it. Because despite checking carefully, there's a third trap. Dart trap this time. And one adventurer, maybe feeling a bit overconfident after the last two successes, just walks forward, thinks it's clear. Big mistake. This moment in 09001. It really shows how you can't let your guard down.
That's classic dungeon delving tension, isn't it? You get into a rhythm, you think you've got it figured out, and bam, complacency bites you.
And it bites hard. Four poison darts hit, that's 22 hit points gone, leaves the character on just 11 HP. Wow.
Oof, that's rough.
And to make it worse, their saving throw against the poison. It was really bad, maybe even a character sheet error involved, the transcript mentions.
Oh, interesting. A little metagame detail creeping in. Happens to the best of us.
And get this, the trap resets automatically. You can just keep firing.
Yeah.
Nasty piece of work.
That's brutal. Not just a one-off danger. So a real setback for the group in OMA 9 or a 1.
Definitely. They managed to disarm it eventually, but now they've got a poisoned party member and no antidote on hand.
Okay. Timeout needed. Heal up. Rethink.
Exactly. They regroup, patch up the injured character, and then, wisely, cast Detect Magic before moving on. Learning from mistakes.
Good adaptation. Using what just happened to inform the next step.
And then there's the goblin. For a bit of dark comic relief, it starts jumping on suspicious floor spots, trying to, you know, find the traps by triggering them.
Oh, bless its heart. Risky, maybe stupid, but definitely enthusiastic. Adds that unpredictable element back in. SO9IO1 keeps throwing curveballs.
For sure. So they press on, reach another crossroads. East or south, they go east.
Okay, exploring the new branch.
But this eastern path, it kind of peters out.
Yeah.
Leads to some crudely dug tunnels, a partially caved-in room. There's another tunnel leading off, but a quick magic scan shows nothing valuable in the rubble.
So, a dead end, essentially. Or at least, not immediately rewarding. Happens a lot in big dungeons. Not every path has treasure. This part of SO9IO1 kind of highlights the grind of exploration.
But wait, the eastern path does offer something. just maybe not what they wanted. They find this long, winding corridor, and the walls are covered in paintings.
Oh, what kind of paintings?
Not happy landscapes, I'm sorry. They show lizards going mad, transforming into Nothics, those creepy one-eyed magic things.
Yikes. Okay, setting a mood.
And there's one really vivid one. Green light, blasting from a skull book, turning a wizard into something called a glittering mouth. Sounds horrifying. This adds a really unsettling layer of lore to Ezunai and Aizo 1.
Yeah, that's some serious environmental storytelling. Gives you clues about the place, its history, the kind of awful magic that might be around. Creepy. Definitely hints at threats beyond just traps.
And the group knows their stuff. They recall lore about both creatures. Nothics used to be wizards, cursed maybe. Gaze causes rot. Glittering mouths, nasty things made of victims they absorbed, babble constantly, can basically stun you with confusion.
Good that they have that knowledge. Helps them know what they might be up against. Forewarned is forearmed, kinda.
Definitely creatures you want to avoid. But interestingly, Detect Magic finds nothing on the paintings themselves. No magical auras.
So maybe just historical records. Or warnings. Adds a bit of mystery, doesn't it? Are they just pictures? Or something else? Ezunai and Aizo 1 leaves that hanging.
The painted hallway eventually splits. North goes towards the upper level. East continues on. They stick with east. Leads to more rough tunnels, maybe unfinished bits of the dungeon.
It really drives home how huge and complex this place is, right? Finished sections, half-dug tunnels. Hallister's work is massive. That feeling of endless, dangerous space is key to Undermountain, and you see it in Ezunai and Aizo 1.
Then, totally out of the blue, a room with torchlight. A welcome change. But it's, weirdly fancy.
Fancy? How so?
A high vaulted ceiling, like 15 feet, overstuffed chairs, and right in the middle there's this woman just lounging wearing two holy symbols.
Two? That's unusual. Which ones?
One for Joaquin, god of trade, the other for Char, goddess of darkness and loss. Talk about conflicting signals.
Whoa. Yeah, that screams stolen or very complicated person. What else is in the room?
Empty bookshelves, a desk. Against the south wall, a long table covered in fresh food and wine, and overlooking it all, a portrait of a smiling Hallister.
Fresh food. Okay, someone definitely lives here, or visits often. And the dual symbols, the portrait. This whole scene is unexpected, a real curveball in Ezunai and Aizo 1.
And guess who breaks the weird silence?
Let me guess. The goblin.
Bingo. Wanders in, makes noise, gets the woman's attention.
One
of the adventurers tries to smooth things over. Quick apology, tries to back out. Smart.
Good diplomacy attempt. De-escalation is usually worth a try.
They even do a quick detect magic scan. Nothing glowing nearby.
Yeah.
And they confirm their suspicion about the holy symbols probably stolen. But the woman, not interested in apologies.
Oh.
She just points at the goblin and says, beat him senseless. And just like that, combat starts.
Wow, 0 to 60. Okay, so much for diplomacy. S09, I01 just kicked into high gear again.
Roll initiative. Things happen fast. One adventurer uses minor illusion, creates a boxing glove near the goblin. Trina distract it.
Hey, creative.
Another uses minor illusion to make a chicken. Trying to lure the goblin away, maybe?
Using illusions defensively, I like it.
But before that plays out, smack.
Yeah.
Something invisible hits the goblin.
Invisible. Okay, new problem.
Then, sacred flame targets the woman. But the invisible thing hits the goblin again. It's staggering. Detect magic is still up, but saw no conjuration, no auras. The DM clarifies they're likely living unseen servants.
Ah, unseen servants. But living, that's a twist. And undetectable by normal magic detection. Nasty. This fight in Ezunai and Aizo 1 just got way more complicated.
Then a fairy fire spell goes off. Lights up the woman, and for these unseen servants, now they can see them.
Okay, fairy fire is clutch here. Levels the playing field a bit, now they can target them.
Yep. An arrow flies, hits one of the glowing servants, probably takes it down. One down. The goblin, sensing things are bad, tries to bolt.
Smart goblin for once.
The woman yells, kill them all, and starts to back away herself.
Not sticking around for the fight herself, huh? Relies on her minions.
But she doesn't get far. An acid arrow hits her square in the back. Direct hit.
Nice shot. That ongoing acid damage could be significant. SO9RO1's combat is proving really dynamic.
As the acid arrow shooter retreats, they feel something brush their foot. Creepy. Definitely one of the servants. Another one actually blocks their path.
Persistent little things.
Two servants attack the adventurer. One hits, one misses. Then word of radiance blasts out at the visible enemies. Someone throws up a shield spell for defense. A web spell goes out, trying to lock down the room.
Lots of spell slinging, trying to control the area and deal with multiple threats.
And then that acid arrow does its job. The ongoing damage finishes the woman off. She collapses.
Whoa. Really? Just like that?
Yep. Someone even whispers, MVP for the Acid Aerocaster. End of that threat in Soma 9 IO-1.
Wow. Okay, so the mistress is down. What do the servants do?
They stop attacking. Just stop.
Huh. Interesting. Directly linked to her, then.
Seems so. They try to command them, tell them to back off, but it doesn't work. They're not taking orders anymore.
So they're just inert or still a threat.
They consider attacking them again. A final word of radiance hits the closest ones. The web spell is dropped. Then the servants just float to the center of the room and hang there.
Weird. Okay, threat neutralized. Kinda. Time to loot.
You know it. They search the woman, find the two holy symbols, Char and Joaquin, 25 gold each, and the portrait of Hallister, also 25 gold. They keep the portrait, thinking maybe it's useful for illusion magic later. Smart.
Bad call. Never know what might be useful. Any hidden compartments or anything?
Nope. They search the room thoroughly. Nothing else. Confirm the portrait looks accurate. Try commanding the servants again. Still no response. So they decide to leave the weird room and the creepy, inert servants behind. Onwards.
That whole encounter was bizarre. Unseen servants, stolen symbols, sudden violence. Leaves a lot of questions unanswered as 09-IO-1 moves forward.
So where to next? Back to the crossroads, basically. South passage in the middle, or other ways off to the side. They pick the main south passage.
Makes sense. Follow the main path. See where it leads.
It leads to a long hallway, curves south, opens into another carved tunnel. But the hallway also goes north, winding a bit.
Okay, another split, but they stick with south for now.
Actually, they check out the north path first, briefly. It opens into these twin hallways, looks like an old blacksmith's area. Crumbling tables, shelves, dwarven anvils, tools, all ruined.
More dungeon history, signs of past occupants, anything else?
Yeah, something big, an archway, a gate, and carved into the keystone, a dead tree.
Another one, like the gate they found earlier, a portal to another level.
Looks like it. They figure it needs something related to a dead tree to activate, maybe a wooden staff. But here's the kicker. This one goes to level 5, but you gotta be level 8 or higher to use it.
Okay. So tantalizing, but out of reach for now. Something to aim for. They confirm the XP for beating the acid lady, as they called her.
Yep. XP confirmed. So this gate discovery in So9 IO1 is like a signpost for the future. Deeper levels await.
And then there's this weird little tangent in the transcript, right? About stolen mattresses and TVs.
Huh. Yeah, totally random. Just a funny aside about thieves, maybe triggered by the stolen holy symbols. A quick moment of levity before diving back into the danger.
Helps break the tension. So back to exploring. They stick to the southern hallway.
Right. It leads to another split, this time with portcullises blocking off what looks like an undeveloped cave area.
And they wisely avoid the scary-looking portcullis area.
You bet. Continue south down the finished hallway.
Okay, persistence.
And persistence pays off. Sort of. They see light ahead. Some rooms are lit up.
Oh, civilization. Or something else.
Something else. They spot it. A beholder zombie.
Oh, boy. Okay, threat level just jumps significantly again. A beholder zombie. That's got to be ugly.
The transcript description isn't flattering, let's say that.
Okay.
And it was looking right at the door. It definitely saw the bat familiar scouting ahead. Unclear if it saw the actual party yet.
But it knows something is there. This is a major encounter shaping up for the end of Zone 9, IZO 1.
Big time. Quick tactical huddle. They know beholders are bad news, even zombie ones. And their group is pretty magic heavy.
Right, worried about the anti-magic cone.
Maybe. There's some talk about potential magic dampening in the center, though they're not sure.
Yeah.
So the plan is, spread out, hit the four corners of the room for better positioning.
Sound tactical thinking, avoid bunching up. Okay, initiative?
And guess who rolls high? The beholder zombie. Surprises everyone.
Of course it does. Undead reflexes. Puts the party on the back foot immediately.
And the goblin. Sees the zombie and is out of there. Backs right up. Smartest thing it's done all day.
Can't blame it. Okay, zombie's turn. What does it do?
Uses one of its random eye rays. Targets an adventurer. It's a paralysis ray.
Oh no. Did they save?
Yes. Made the save, avoided paralysis. Huge relief. Close call. Someone immediately nicknames the zombie something unflattering like Fat Crow.
Ha! Gallows humor. Okay. Party's turn to react.
Cautious advance from one. Then boom. Fireball. Direct hit on the zombie.
Starting strong.
Another cast Ray of Frost, then uses Misty Step to bamf into a corner. Great positioning move.
Nice. Mobility and damage.
Then Scorching Ray.
Yeah.
Multiple beams lance out. One hits the zombie.
Pouring on the damage. But wait, what's that?
Sounds from another room nearby. Thugs.
Yeah.
Bugbears. They've got company arriving.
Oh, fantastic. Just what they needed. Reinforcements for the zombie. This Azo 9 IO 1 fight is escalating fast.
Yep. Someone casts Toll the Dead on the zombie, then pulls back. But the zombie attacks again, hits another adventurer with an eye ray, paralyzed.
Ah, damn. That's bad. Really bad. Paralyzed is just helpless.
Totally. They get a save at the end of their turn, but until then,
yeah.
Vulnerable. Then a tactical masterstroke, mm-hmm. blindness spell on the beholder zombie.
Did it work?
It failed its save. Zombie is blinded. Huge debuff. Disadvantage on its attacks. The caster ducks back around a corner.
Excellent. Buys them some breathing room from the eye rays, at least.
But just then, a thug pops into the doorway, sees the paralyzed adventurer, shoots them with a heavy crossbow, hits.
Arr! Kicking them while they're down. This fight in Zone 901 is brutal.
Another incoming attack, a javelin gets blocked by a shield spell reaction.
Mm.
Thank goodness for reactions. The goblin, maybe feeling brave or stupid, moves back into the room.
Goblin, no! What are you doing?
Who knows? But then, another clever spell. Crown of Madness on one of the thugs. Nadia, the transcript calls her.
Ooh, charm effect?
Yep. Charms her, makes her attack the nearest creature, which happens to be a bugbear. Enemy fighting enemy, always good.
Nice. Turning the tables a bit, crowd control.
An adventurer makes a strategic move, relying on the fact that the blinded zombie can't make opportunity attacks. Smart reading of the rules there.
Good tactical awareness. Use the conditions you inflict.
Heavy crossbow misses. The paralyzed adventurer gets hit again by the zombie's knight this time. The goblin, having had enough, runs out of the room again, dodges opportunity attacks.
Okay, goblin survival instincts finally kicked in properly.
Another thug enters.
Yeah.
And the beholder zombie, maybe confused by the blindness, moves and bites a bugbear. A misses,
yeah.
But still funny. Another bugbear shows up. Someone mentions they're getting low on health.
Yeah, this is turning into a war of attrition. Lots of enemies, lots of damage going out.
More scorching rays fly out. Another fireball hits a bugbear. A heavy crossbow connects with a party member. Potion of healing gets chugged.
Gotta keep the HP up.
Bugbear attacks the paralyzed venturer. Misses. Frostbite cantrip hits a target. Gives it disadvantage on its next attack. Another misty step to a corner for safety.
Positioning and debuffs. Trying to manage the chaos.
And then, the big one. Wall of fire. Cast strategically to block off a chunk of the room. Hopefully catching multiple enemies.
Whoa. Now that's battlefield control. Of course, concentration though, right?
Yep. Gotta maintain concentration. They quickly clarify the rules, taking damage, you enter it or end your turn near it. This spell really changes the shape of the fight in Zone 9 or U1.
Absolutely. Cuts off movement, deals damage. Very powerful if placed well.
Another ray of frost hits the zombie, slowing it. And then, finally, the beholder zombie goes down.
Yes. Got the main threat. That took a lot of effort.
It did. Someone immediately uses another healing potion. But the fight's not over. Bugbear attacks, misses. An opportunity attack misses a bugbear. Nadia, the charmed thug, swings wildly and misses. Another thug joins the mess.
Still more enemies coming.
Relentless.
Bugbear advances. Someone casts their last third-level spell. Sacred Flame target saves. Another Frostbite target saves again. A melee attack goes straight for Nadia, the charmed thug. Hits. Uses an inspiration point to make sure. And kills her.
Okay, taking out the charmed enemy before the spell ends. Or just clearing the board. Either way, she's down.
And someone immediately gets an idea. Use disguise self next turn to look like Nadia.
Ooh, sneaky. Could definitely confuse the remaining enemies. I like it.
Adventurer steps back. Warrior type attacks a bugbear, misses. A bugbear makes a run for it right through the wall of fire. Takes the damage, no save since it was intentional movement.
Ouch. Desperate move. Does anyone get an opportunity attack?
Yep, Polar Master got a swing, but missed. Another bugbear attacks, misses. Someone tries to shove a different bugbear into the wall of fire.
Does it work?
Success. Shove right in. Takes the fire damage, no save, because it was forced movement. Nice tactical shove.
Brilliant. Using the environment and the spell effect.
Melee attack hits and kills another nearby bugbear. Things are finally starting to thin out. This combat was just relentless in Zone 9 Arrow 1.
Seriously, a real test of resources and tactics.
They start thinking about looting amidst the chaos. Someone jokes about beholder zombies keeping magic items in their stomachs.
You never know the beholders, right?
True. But alas, a search of the combat room and the beholder's original room turns up nothing. No treasure.
Well, the XP is probably decent, though. But wait, what's this?
Secret door. Found in one of the corners, just when they thought they were done with this area.
Always another secret in Undermountain.
And the plan from earlier kicks in. Disguise self. An adventurer transforms into Nadia. 7 feet tall, muscular, shaggy black hair, pale skin. Quite the disguise.
Okay, disguised and found a secret door. This definitely opens up new possibilities right at the end of this combat slog in So 9 OR1.
The secret door leads to a small room. Inside, another secret door to the south, and a carved archway to the north, and painted on the floor in blood. A 10-foot circle with 10 spokes.
10 spokes? Wait, isn't that
the symbol of Xanathar?
Whoa. Okay, that's significant. Xanathar Guild presents this deep, adds a whole new political layer. What about the archway?
Another gate. This one has a rust monster carved into the keystone.
A rust monster. Okay. Wonder what that needs to activate.
And this one needs a 9th level character to use it.
Yeah.
Leads to level 6 of the dungeon. Even deeper.
Man, these gates are everywhere, just teasing them with deeper levels they can't reach yet. What about the southern secret door?
They check it out. It opens into a long, high-ceilinged armory, 20 feet high. Racks of weapons, armor, yep. Plate, scale, chainmail, shields, axes, hammers, picks, javelins.
Jackpot.
Not quite. Everything's deteriorated. Rusted, damp, basically useless. There's a sharpening wheel set in the floor. No wow. Magic detected.
Ah, shame. So much potential gear, all ruined. Why so bad? Just time and damp.
They speculate maybe rust monsters were involved, given the gate nearby. But could just be neglect and the dungeon environment. These final discoveries in Sonnen ISO 1 really set up some interesting threads, though.
Definitely. Xanathar, another gate, the ruined armory. Lots to think about.
And that's where the session, Sonnen ISO 1, wraps up.
Yeah.
The big question left hanging, do they go south through that new secret door in the armory room or backtrack north?
And the transcript tells us they choose south, right?
Correct. They choose south. And the DM gives a little hint that eastern corridor they were in earlier, it apparently could lead all the way to the western side of this dungeon level. Just emphasizes how huge this place is.
Mind-boggling scale. This mad mage really went all out.
So wrapping up this deep dive into Sonnen ISO 1, what a session, huh? We had that really tense start navigating traps, making that costly mistake with the darts.
Right, then the discovery of those creaky paintings, the lore about Nothix and glittering mouths really set a tone.
Followed by that totally unexpected fight in the fancy room. The woman with two holy symbols. The invisible. Well, living unseen servants. Very chaotic.
And then straight into the massive brawl with the beholder zombie, the thugs, the bugbears. That was intense. Resource draining.
Definitely. Plus the discovery of the Xanathar symbol. Two more magic gates they can't use yet. It was this real mix, you know? Careful exploration, suddenly broken by frantic combat. All packed into 09-IO-1.
And it leaves you with so many questions. What's the deal with those servants? Why is the Xanathar symbol there? What awaits beyond those gates on levels 5 and 6?
It really makes you think, doesn't it? If you were playing, which gate would you be more curious about? The dead tree 1 to level 5? Or the rust monster 1 to level 6? And what's your theory on that ruined armory? Rust monsters or just decay?
Good questions. It highlights the choices the players made in the Xur9 IO1, the spells they relied on, lots of illusions, wall of fire was huge, blindness, and just that constant sense of the unknown lurking around every corner.
Absolutely. And it all leads to that final choice. South, through the secret door. What secrets, what dangers are waiting for them there? What will the deeper levels hold? All sparked by the events of Xur9 Xur1.
Indeed. As we finish this deep dive, you really get that sense of anticipation. The Undermountain is vast, unpredictable, and this session, Xur9 Xur1, was just one step deeper into its madness. What comes next? Well, that's a story for another time.